This is your tech news briefing for Friday, September 25th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Today, we're going to take a trip back to the early days of computing. In 1965, the co-founder of Intel, Gordon Moore, predicted that the number of transistors on a microchip would double every 18 months or so. The idea became known as Moore's Law, and it held true for decades. But our tech columnist Christopher Mims says Moore's Law is over. Now, we should be observing Huang's Law. Chris will explain what that is and how it's connected to the tech company NVIDIA after these headlines. The maker of Fortnite, Epic Games, together with Spotify, Match Group, and other app developers, are forging an alliance to pressure Apple and other app store operators to make changes to their marketplace rules. They're calling it the Coalition for App Fairness, and they say the commissions app stores collect from software developers are too high, and that the stores give their own products and services preferential treatment. The group was registered after some sparring between Epic and Apple and Google earlier this summer. A spokeswoman said that the coalition was not part of that fight, but she did say that the group will push for legal and regulatory changes to how app stores are allowed to operate. Neither Apple nor Google commented on the group's creation. And in a virtual event yesterday, Amazon rolled out an array of new devices, from a cloud-connected gaming controller to a pivoting speaker with a camera to an indoor security drone that flies around your home. The company also announced new features for some existing products. Now, Amazon Alexa will be able to read books to your children or detect if a baby is crying. Obviously, all these new devices will be available on its Amazon marketplace. And as we talked about on the show yesterday, a Wall Street Journal investigation has revealed that Amazon restricts some competitors' ability to promote their rival devices on its platform, a practice that gives Amazon's own products an advantage. Okay, up next, our tech columnist Christopher Mims says that the era of Moore's Law is over and that we're now in the age of Huang's Law. He'll help us break down what he means by that after the break. People who are into tech have probably heard of Moore's Law, the idea that the number of transistors on a chip doubles roughly every 2 years. It was true for a long time, but our tech columnist Christopher Mims says it's outdated and that a new law has arisen, Huang's Law. It describes how the silicon chips that power artificial intelligence more than double in performance every 2 years. And that can be attributed to both hardware and software. It's the reason there's been so much quick progress on everything from autonomous vehicles to facial recognition technology. Here to explain is Chris Mims himself. Chris, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so can you just start by defining Moore's Law?
Moore's Law, it's really more of an observation than a physical law. Gordon Moore, co-founder of Intel and its previous CEO, he observed that every 18 months or so, the number of transistors on a microchip doubles. And this is because, of course, they're shrinking. He made this observation in 1965, and remarkably, it held for 50 years. But even he himself admitted that it was more of a goal and that the whole industry just sort of bent its will to making it happen. Importantly, Moore's Law has also meant that the performance of microchips has increased on the same timetable. And, you know, chips have shrunk and they've started using less power. And that's why we all carry around the proverbial supercomputer in our pocket that is a smartphone.
But you say that it's no longer applicable, really. So why not?
Moore's Law really topped out just because of physics. Like, they got down to the point where the individual transistors, individual elements, the channels on the microchip are just, you know, dozens of atoms wide. So weird quantum effects start popping up. Electrons jump from one place to another and the chips become less reliable. It's also very hard to etch features at that size. And having reached those physical limits, Moore's Law pretty much stalled out the middle of the previous decade.
All right. So instead, you're proposing Huang's Law. Please define.
Yeah. So I may be giving him a little bit too much credit, but probably Gordon Moore got a little bit too much credit for Moore's Law as well. But Jensen Huang, he is the co-founder and to this day still CEO of NVIDIA, which started as a GPU company, which means it makes, you know, graphic processing units, which obviously are useful if you're a gamer. And then it became kind of an AI company because it turns out AI, modern AI, deep learning especially, and related types of AI run really well on GPUs. When it made that transition, you know, it became kind of the everything company, the self-driving car company, the voice recognition, the object recognition, the face recognition company, and the value of it ballooned. Really, what happened is if you measure the performance of these chips on AI tasks, it has more than doubled every year since 2012, which is when NVIDIA and others really started specializing their GPUs specifically for AI tasks.
So we reported before that NVIDIA, Huang's company, has been in talks to acquire the chip designer Arm Holdings for more than $40 billion. We said before that these laws are really more like goals. So how could a partnership between these two help NVIDIA achieve Huang's law, so to speak?
So NVIDIA is really dominant in the cloud. I mean, they're basically a monopoly. By some measures, they have more than 90% of all the cloud processing power for AI. That's what you get if you, you know, dial up some AI chips on Amazon Web Services, which is itself a near monopoly. And ARM is really dominant in AI in our devices. So this is called edge AI. It just means the AI that sits right where we need things to happen. And so ARM designs chips and licenses its patents to Samsung, to Huawei, to Apple, to everybody who's making mobile chips. And all of those companies have their own specialized AI processors that they stuck in phones. They enable silly things like Animoji, slightly more useful things like Siri or Google Assistant, and recently, really interesting applications at the edge like object recognition in dashboard cameras that alert you when a pedestrian's crossing in front of you or a vehicle stops quickly to make your driving more safe. NVIDIA, dominant in the cloud, by acquiring ARM, dominant at the edge, has the potential to dominate all of AI processing, whether it's in your phone or it's in the cloud that your phone is talking to.
And there are other companies in the arena too, right?
Certainly NVIDIA and ARM are dominant in AI microprocessors, but they are hardly the only other companies. Obviously, Google is really big. They make their own chips, but everyone does now. Samsung does, Apple does, Amazon does. And there are dozens and dozens of specialized startups that are starting to offer miniaturized AI chips that are supposed to, you know, live in every device that we're surrounded by every day. And so what you're seeing is this overall trend, just as with the microprocessor industry before, where it was Intel and AMD and tons of other companies and tons of PC makers, there's this enormous kind of AI computing ecosystem that is evolving, and it involves dozens of companies in every country on earth and many billions of dollars in investment, especially in China. And so there really is this groundswell of investment and engineering to try to find new applications for AI and make it easier to accomplish it.
And zooming out here for average people, not chip makers, how does this law play out in practice in the real world?
As Huang's law progresses, it enables things that previously weren't just difficult, they were impossible. So the classic example is self-driving cars. Personally, I think that we're going to get self-driving trucks first because they have kind of a limited operational boundary. You know, they really are just operating on the highway. They're not having to operate on suburban streets so much. You know, other self-driving delivery vehicles, drones, boats, you name it. It also enables a great deal of AI in the sensors that we rely on to gather data every day and think about that data in some sense. So sensors that might go all over a farm or a factory or any other industrial facility. Another example are Amazon's cashierless Go stores. So there are whole classes of workers, like retailers, that's almost 5 million workers in the US, whose fate is kind of in the hands of companies like Standard and Amazon, both of which really couldn't do their business without Huang's law. I mean, they have, we talk about a supercomputer in our pocket. They have literal supercomputers that they're sticking in the back of a Circle K. So Huang's law has brought down the price of AI so much that it's less expensive to stick an actual supercomputer in the back of a convenience store than to pay an additional clerk to perform a similar function.
So it sounds like Huang's law is essentially driving down the price of AI so that more people might see more of it in more applications. Is that right?
Yeah, the important thing to understand about Huang's law and about Moore's law is that when you increase the performance of something, two things happen. One is you just get more of it. So you get bigger and bigger AI supercomputers on the cloud that can do amazing new things like generate natural sounding human language. You also get a cheaper and cheaper price point for the same level of performance. And the chip itself is using less power. So you're getting more computation per watt. So what that means is that suddenly your self-driving car, which previously required an entire trunk full of computers, now requires maybe something that's just the size of a bread box. It can be stuck into any car. So that miniaturization that we've become accustomed to with Moore's law applies equally to Huang's law. And you now have microprocessors that are so tiny that they can run on a watch battery, which can do object recognition. So you can stick them in a camera, in a sensor that you would just tacky up somewhere and use for some kind of surveillance, let's say.
All right. Our tech columnist, Christopher Mims, thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That's it for Tech News Briefing this week. If you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. Kateri Yoakum is the executive producer of Wall Street Journal podcasts. And I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.